Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of The Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the allegedly least corrupt country on earth, with a leader of the coalition for the, you know, current government, just got done for fraud. Electoral fraud, no less. This country's so freaking corrupt. And, like, and here's how you know it's corrupt. Because no corruption gets reported. You know why? Because the entire apparatus of this entire country's government is specifically there to prevent the corrupt getting caught because they built this system. And they lack it this way. I don't like it this way. And I think it's a good idea to send them to frickin' jail for their crimes. You know, crime and punishment, law and order. Aren't those kind of like election platform things? I think it's pretty reasonable. Now, speaking about election platforms, in Law and Order, we have from the LaRouche Pack organization, Mr. Michael Billington. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Yes, glad to be here.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
What have you been up to, bro?
Well, we're, you know, everything we talked about in the past, which was that the world was careening towards a global financial breakdown and towards global war, has now been brought to the brink. We are literally sitting on, as you can see, with this Ukraine situation where Obama and his British controllers literally placed a neo-Nazi government in power, not even hiding the fact that these were the collaborators of Hitler back in the 1940s, and are now massively, openly, and proudly, actually, preparing for a war on Russia. While the entire Asia theater is being heated up with the U.S. using Japan and the Philippines to create an environment in which their planned war on China, the official U.S. doctrine being the air-sea battle doctrine as a first strike threat to China, all this is in place. And what's most important is that this is driven by the financial breakdown crisis. This is what people have to grasp, is that the desperation in the West, which is now sitting on top of a bubble far bigger than the 2007-2008 bubble that burst with the collapse and ultimately the Lehman Brothers collapse, so-called. But that bubble was never dealt with. It was simply replaced by pumping literally trillions of dollars into the banks, taking it, basically imposing huge debts on governments in Europe and the United States. Virtually every government in Europe and the United States is now clinically bankrupt. And therefore, they are moving on two directions. One is they're moving to bail in, bail-in we probably didn't discuss before. This is now also the law of Europe and the law of the U.S. under the Dodd-Frank bill, which is that since they no longer can have governments absorb the trillions of dollars of unpayable derivative gambling debts, they're simply going to start stealing accounts, as they did in Cyprus. That was sort of the model for the so-called bail-in.
The day after that announcement from Cyprus, the New Zealand Prime Minister, the former Federal Reserve banker on the board for 2 years in charge of derivatives for the European Theatre, I believe, in New York, he said, yeah, I think that's a really good idea to do that to New Zealanders as well. You know, anybody who's got more than 10 grand in your savings account, we can take it. You know, that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. They're saying that deposits in banks are no longer banks holding your money in trust, but rather when you deposit money, even in a CD or a savings account, you're investing and you're an investor and therefore you're taking risk. And therefore, if the bank's derivative bubble blows, they're going to simply steal that money, taking, as you know, 50%, 60% of your deposits. Of course, one big case of a bank going under and bailing in will mean an immediate global run on the entire banking system. They know this. This is playing with fire. But the bail-in process is not just taking the money from banks. Have you been watching what's going on in Argentina?
Well, I'm just wondering who's going to benefit from the run on the banks and whatnot, and when they'll actually plan to stage it so it's most advantageous to them, so that they've secured their strategic assets and then they can buy up the world for pennies on the dollar.
Well, that's probably sort of something that would take place, but don't give them too much credit for having brains. Right? This is simply desperation, and the level of desperation in implementing bail-in is expressed in an even more overt and an insane form in their push for war. I mean, obviously, we're in an age of thermonuclear weapons. This is not a time where you can wage a world war and expect to come out a winner. This is extinction of civilization kind of wars that we're dealing with here. The Russians know this. Putin has been very wise and very cautious in responding to this mobilization for war. He won't be drawn in as they're trying to draw him in to justify a war. But it's also reaching a point of such extremes, first in the Ukraine situation, and now, as you see in Iraq, where what was set in motion by Tony Blair and his puppets, Bush and Cheney and Obama, is now, you know, coming home to roost with the Al-Qaeda apparatus funded and run by the British and the Saudis, which we were waging war with in Syria, i.e. we are working with the Al-Qaeda in Syria to overthrow Assad, as we did in Libya, where we worked with Al-Qaeda to overthrow Gaddafi. Now we're threatening to go to war against our Syrian allies in Iraq. So this is a level of insanity which you have to sort of grasp as a situation, again, driven by the complete bankruptcy of the Western financial system and their view.
I agree that it's insanity, but I'm not sure if it's stupidity plus insanity. I think it's kind of psychopathy plus insanity.
Well, I accept that. Yeah, that's what I mean by insanity. They're psychopaths. Yeah, there's no question. And when they look at what's going on in Eurasia, where Russia and China and now India with this new government with Mr. Modi, all three of these great powers, these huge nations that represent really the majority of the world's population, and the rest of Asian countries as well, are on a forward trajectory. They're going with great infrastructure projects between them. Putin was in China a few months ago, signed about 46 huge deals, including this massive oil and gas pipeline deal, space collaboration, building new nuclear power plants. China is now going to work with Russia in building a tunnel under the Bering Strait. Of course, we would have to completely change the United States to make that happen. But all of this, all of what I've gone through really leads to the main point I wanted to make with you today, Vinny, which is that Obama's going down. There are multiple reasons. I'm sure you've discussed them many times with your audience, the many crimes of Barack Obama, in terms of ripping up the Constitution, going to war, like in Libya, with no with no congressional approval, not even going to the Congress, explicitly against our Constitution.
Well, I don't know about you, but it just seems par for the course. Bush did that, Clinton did that, Nixon did that, Reagan did that. Who didn't do that?
Oh, no, that's even Bush, actually. While Bush and Cheney were guilty of many impeachable crimes, even Bush went to the Congress to get approval for his criminal war against Iraq. Of course, it was based on a massive lie. Now, two things have happened in the last 2 weeks. One is that Tony Blair has been brought up on impeachment charges in the UK Parliament. This is extremely important. I hope you've been following this. It came about because when the Al-Qaeda apparatus swept through Iraq, Tony Blair, who of course was responsible for the massive lies that justified the war in Iraq, the sexing up of the dossier on weapons of mass destruction, lying about yellow cake from Niger and so forth. He went on TV and said, oh, this is what's happening now has nothing to do with what I did. The problem is that we didn't go to war in Syria. And if we'd done that, then we wouldn't have this problem. And people were so incensed by this this incredible satanic character who has brought murder to a new level of perfection, you know, mass murder, that finally several people, a leading journalist, and then the so-called, what do they call him, the father of the house. He's the longest sitting member of parliament. I think his name is Tisdale. Asked Cameron in the question and answer period, he said, are you aware that there's a growing momentum for an impeachment of Tony Blair? And this set it off. And the next day, Galloway, who is a former Labour Party guy who was thrown out because of his opposition to the Iraq war, introduced an impeachment. And in the UK law, impeachment is not just to remove somebody from their position, but you can actually have a criminal trial in the parliament if the crime was committed against the nation. And in Tony Blair's case, that's obviously the case. So they could literally send him to prison. And this then was followed by the revelation that came out this last week in a book written by Edward Klein called Blood Feud about the fight between Obama and the Clintons. And in that book, he quotes people close to the Clintons inside the situation who revealed that on the night of 9/11/2012, that's the Benghazi case, you know, where they killed the CIA agent and three other Americans, killed the ambassador to Libya and two CIA and another guy, that this was that night Hillary was the best briefed on what was going on. She was aware that this was an Al-Qaeda attack on the anniversary of 9/11.
Well, of course she'd be aware it's an Al-Qaeda attack. The CIA funded them.
What the CIA was doing there was running Libyan guns to Syria through Turkey. That's why they had that CIA outpost up there. So they were working with the terrorists basically to try to gather up weapons. And it's still not clear exactly what the ambassador's position. But rather than getting into those details, what's revealed in this book, which is going to bring Obama down, is that Hillary was well informed that night that there was a terrorist attack, that the ambassador had been killed, and that there was an assault on the CIA headquarters there. When at 10 o'clock that night, she got a call from Obama, who said, I want you immediately to release a State Department press release saying that this was an incident, a demonstration gone amok against this video of Muhammad, and that this was not Al-Qaeda. Because Obama had been making his campaign and his reputation by saying, I killed Osama bin Laden, I've got Al-Qaeda on the run, and he was not going to allow a terrorist incident on his watch. So therefore, he instructed Hillary to lie and put out this document. She said, this is not credible. This is the anniversary of 9/11. It's not credible that this was a demonstration about a video. I can tell you that this is a carefully planned terrorist assault. And he said, do it. She called Bill, and Bill said, I can't believe he wants to say this. It's not credible. Nobody will believe it. But both of them, being who they are, said, well, but I want to be president. and therefore I'm going to do what he said rather than resigning or something I should have done.
And let me guess, appallingly, people believed it.
Well, nobody believed it, really. Think about it. That was, you know, this was the thing that blew up in their face. They sent Susan Rice on the talk shows, and she said, oh, it was just a demonstration gone amok. And Hillary put out that false press release, but nobody believed it. And now it's blowing up. Several things happened. I won't go through the details, but through a long, hard fight, we forced out several documents showing that the administration knew that they were putting out a lie. And then this book's release, which we independently confirmed with people, including one of the lawyers directly involved in the case with Hillary, we've confirmed this story, which means that Hillary herself has the evidence that Obama lied about the most serious terrorist attack on America since the 9/11 2001, man, killing a major U.S. official.
This is right? Big, Mike.
Yeah, it's very big. This is going to bring Obama down. We are in full mobilization in the Congress and around the country and around the world to get our emergency leaflet out. If you didn't get it already, I'll send it to you. And your listeners should certainly get it by going to our website, LaRouchePac.com.
Not to be confused with the French abuse website known as LaDouchebag.com. But continue, Mike.
Certainly not to be confused with that. So essentially, this is the evidence required to finish the story. Now you're beginning to see serious cracks in the armor. Leading Democrats, the senator from Virginia, Tim Kaine, who put an op-ed in the Washington Post yesterday, saying that Obama's deployment of these special forces to Iraq is illegal, it's unconstitutional, he has to come to the Congress, he cannot deploy military forces. So we're seeing, you know, again, the same thing that we saw in Iraq, that we saw in Libya. Only in this case, again, Obama's saying, I don't have to go to the Congress. And finally, some Democrats are getting beginning to figure out that kissing his ass in order to get elected and keeping Wall Street happy so they get the money for their elections, that's treason. And it's not even going to work because the population is so enraged at the complete collapse of our economy, the continuous, illegal, useless, losing wars that we've been fighting, and most importantly, that the economy is heading for a crash which is at this point irreversible if we don't implement the kind of Glass-Steagall policies that you know, we've discussed before, that Wall Street has to be shut down, period. And Glass-Steagall will shut down Wall Street. It'll save the commercial banks the only way they can be saved at this point, which is to shut down the investment bankers and their collaboration with the so-called too-big-to-fail banks, the J.P. Morgan Chases and the Bank of America and so on.
Can I
These
ask,
banks,
Mike? Yeah. Have they been considering a jubilee? I mean, considering all this debt, quadrillions of it, derivatives and et cetera, never actually existed in the first place, except for people just making it up and then pretending that it exists. Yeah. Why don't we just pretend that it doesn't exist, and cancel all the debt?
This is what the Catholic Church historically promoted, and it's the right idea. Glass-Steagall does that legally. This is what Franklin Roosevelt did.
So it's like literally the Glass-Steagall legal eagle.
Yeah, yeah, it does that. Because look, I mean, just to remind you what Glass-Steagall does, I mean, it would separate the investment bankers again. They've all been merged, you know, since Glass-Steagall was done away with at the end of the Clinton administration. And that's what led to the Bush and Cheney crowd just going berserk with the wild speculation and derivative bubbles. But reimpose it, then you basically go into these banks, the so-called too-big-to-fail banks. You separate out the wasted gambling debts, the derivative speculation, from real debt. I mean, a lot of the debt is investments in the real economy and industries and agriculture and infrastructure and hospitals and schools and cities. All of that's legitimate debt. But it's now swamped by this gambling debt, the derivative bubble. You separate that out and you basically shove that derivative bubble back into the investment banks and you let them sink or swim. They get no government support. Only the commercial banks get government support, and only if they can prove that they're solvent. Now, this is a big, big job, but nothing short of that can possibly stop this total collapse that's now sweeping through Europe and the United States. And then secondly, that's not enough. You then have to go back to the credit system, the creditary system that was developed by Alexander Hamilton that really built this country, which is that the government takes responsibility for directing the credit through a national bank, not a central bank like our Fed or your central bank, but through a national bank owned by the government, which directs the credit into useful enterprise, into industry, agriculture, infrastructure, schools, hospitals, those things needed to advance the science and the technology and the education of the population and the productivity of your population. That's real economics, as the once called the American system, but long since forgotten here in America, you know. But if you do that,
well, that system,
the Wall Street crowd's going under. They're not going to survive. They can't deal with this massive bubble. They're just going to collapse, and good riddance. We don't need them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cut off the dead weight, mate.
Yeah.
All they are is just leeching parasites, gambling scum. I mean, basically, it's more or less just a giant gambling mafia craps table or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, gun underneath the table.
You should look at the what's going on in Argentina. It's very instructive. I don't know if you followed this historically, but you might remember that Kirchner, the president back in 2001 or two, I forget, declared a default because they had been
The World Bank came in and they basically did their classic move, which is the World Bank 111 point plan, which is a white paper from it that got leaked, to basically privatize everything. And more or less, you can privatize an entire country, virtually even the citizenry, and turn it into a military dictatorship just by buying the authorities, literally.
Yeah, privatizing, basically massively cutting all state sector workers, cutting pensions. This is what's being done to Greece and Spain and Italy today, right now. And this was being done to Argentina, and they stood up and said, no, sorry, folks, we are not going to pay this debt. It just as you just said, Vinny, it's not legitimate debt. This debt was imposed on us to refinance other debts at higher interest rates. And finally, we were basically dumped with a total mass of debt that was not legitimate. We will pay, but we're only going to pay a percentage. Yeah. And they ended up paying about 25 or 30%. But when they made that deal, which was totally legal under the international laws and so forth, about 92% of the creditors agreed. But a small 7%, which were these vulture funds, hedge funds, who had bought up government debt at a nickel in the dollar with the intention of collecting 100% on the dollar. And they refused the deal and have been going to court fighting to demand 100% payment. And finally, they found a corrupt judge in New York named Grisa, who ruled in their favor that Argentina had to pay. And in fact, they had to pay not only the entirety of that hedge fund debt, but they couldn't pay the other creditors that they'd made the deal with until they pay the vultures.
Isn't it interesting how the term creditors sounds exactly like the word predators?
It is. It's the banksters and the predators. I mean, that's exactly right.
I mean, Coolio got a song about this called Bankster's Paradise, if I remember correctly.
I never heard it. So anyway, you know, the president in Argentina now is Kirchner's wife. He died, and his wife, Cristina Fernandez, is leading a fight. The Pope is on her side on this. He has been putting out very powerful statements saying that the domination of world politics by this bankrupt financial system, which puts money ahead of human beings, is leading to hell, that the world is being driven into total economic and even military strategic disaster. And so Argentina is leading the way in this fight. We're giving full support to Cristina. I encourage you to do the same. And at the same time, we are, as I've said, we are on the brink of getting this traitor out of office, pinning Tony Blair for his crimes and basically the controller of the Bush-Cheney crowd and Obama, and working with our true allies and friends, Russia, China, India, Japan and Korea are playing a part in that, even though Japan's been sucked into this military confrontation with China. But nonetheless, economically, they will be part of this if we put it in place. We have the potential, if the U.S., under new leadership, were to be brought together with Russia, China, and India's current very powerful pro-development leadership, then that would constitute a strength that could literally do away with the British Empire once and for all. The whole London, New York financial oligarchy could wipe out.
Or as I like to call them, the Forex traitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're traitors or traitors, depending on how you say it. But they are indeed traitors with the T, too.
I thought that was quite clever.
It
was slight wit, just the right amount of flavor. Mike Billington has been my guest, ladies and gentlemen. LaRouchePac, is it .com or .org?
.com. Yeah, LaRouchePac, P-A-C, L-A-R-O-U-C-H-E dot, or P-A-C, LaRouchePac .com. Yeah. And the leaflet is right there on the top. I'll send it to you separately, Vinny, if you want to send it out to people, on Hillary Clinton's Benghazi revelations mean Obama must be impeached immediately. This is what we're mass distributing around the world right now.
We don't need no sour grapes. We need an impeachment.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the fruit of our labors, you know. Imagine if it happened. Have you noticed that in the last couple of centuries, the year 14 has made some really big changes, like in the changeovers and things of that nature? I think it was like the Federal Reserve Act was signed in like Christmas of 1913, so like as soon as they came back into Congress when the Christmas and New Year's break was over, boom, 1914, you got some big changes going on. And I think for the first time in human history, we'll be in control of the changes this time. We'll be the ones arresting the scumbaggery. We'll be the ones saving the countries.
This is the 100th anniversary of the killing of the Archduke Ferdinand, which was the unleashing of the British game plan for World War. That World War, the First World War, so-called, was actually started back when the British manipulated to get Bismarck out of power in Germany. Bismarck was working closely with the Abraham Lincoln circle of economists, which is why he broke from the British free trade model, was building infrastructure. He built what was called the Zollverein. He was building a railroad to Baghdad. And this was causus belli to the British. They wanted a war. And so they succeeded in putting together alliances, which then they blew up 100 years ago. This year, and started what really was a continual World War I and World War II, which was really a continuation of the First World War. British efforts to blow up Europe and Eurasia. And that's still what we're facing today.
Yep. First with military force to knock you off your feet, and then with economic force to keep you down. Thank you very much for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.